Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the session on lifecycle services for AX7. That's what we'll be covering today. We'll be covering the overview of lifecycle services for the new Dynamics AX as it stands today. All of you know that the AX7 is a public cloud service. So with that, essentially what you get is we manage the infrastructure, the machines, the service itself, running, monitoring, diagnostics, all of that is managed by Microsoft, while you continue to have the flexibility to customize the solution as per your needs, right? And then update it, and all of the maintenance can happen as you need it. So lifecycle services essentially provides the cloud administration in addition to all the various things that it provided earlier for AX 2012. My name is Meera Mahabala. I'm a group program manager for Lifecycle Services. I'm very pleased to have with me here today Clay Wesner, who is an implementation expert and has done many, helped with many customer implementations before. So together we will present an overview. We have multiple other sessions that we are also doing, which do a deep dive of various areas, some of which you may have attended. We had specifically a session on ALM. We have specifically a session on monitoring and updates tomorrow. So we will sort of give, in this session, we'll sort of focus on an overall view of lifecycle services and everything that you can do with it. Can I get a quick show of hands on how many of you folks are on AX7? Okay, including Clay, of course. Yeah, and AX2012, okay. And AX, any earlier versions of AX? Okay, so you guys will move straight to AX7, I suppose. Okay, excellent. Okay, so with that, let's get started on what lifecycle services does today. So lifecycle services is essentially manages all the various phases of the lifecycle of your project itself. So we start with, of course, the discover phase, where you can do multiple things, including things like subscription estimation, something that very as basic as that, that you will need to see if it fits the budget that you're looking for and things like that. And then, of course, we have the ability to do app source, which is a set of apps, ISV apps, that's available in a gallery that are curated and available. So you can see if any of these specific ISV apps fit the requirements that you're looking for. We do have a curation process for this for the ISVs itself. We'll go into that a little bit more in the coming slides. Also available as part of this is you can either do a partner-led trial from AppSource, or you can do it as something that when you contact a partner, they can set up a demo environment for you, and that's something that can be made available. Something that we are adding in the next month is also a trial service that you can use on a 30-day trial period. So if there's somebody who's just looking to see whether Dynamics AX7 works for them, play with the product, look at some getting started guides and things like that, they can use it and have an experience where they sign up within a few seconds and they can keep the trial on for a few days and try it out and see how it works for their specific purpose. So that is something that we are adding as part of the discover phase in the coming, in the next month or so. The next phase is, of course, about definition of the project itself. And here we have multiple elements that contribute to the definition. We have the methodology that we have multiple types of methodology. We have the methodologies like SureStep that is available, but also we have a methodology that has been put together by the solution architecture team at Microsoft with various implementations and the expertise that they have gained from that. Business process models, we have vertical specific business process models. So we have models that are specific to retail, manufacturing, and the like. And this is something that has grown with time, and it also provides a basis to do fit gap analysis, right? So as you're looking at various implementation projects and you're looking to see what is the capabilities of the base Dynamics AX and what you're looking to do, this provides a great framework for fit gap analysis. And of course, once you find the gaps, you can translate them into requirements and you can implement those features. And we have a process of even adding task guides as you complete the process of it. And we will showcase that too a little bit more. So task guides is, again, a very integral part of this whole process. It's a feature that we added and has been extremely well used across the board from the development team in Microsoft to I'd say, our partners who are creating new processes, to ISVs in our curated solutions, to testing. So task guides is something where you can record your step-by-step process, and then you can replay it, and your customers can replay it, and you can use it for training, multiple other such things that is beneficial overall. So in the defined process, we also support configuration. So we support creating configurations of currency, number sequences, multiple other things that you can publish across environments, publish across customers. So if you're a partner, you can have configuration that's specific to your ISV solution that you can share and you can make available across your various customers. So that is something that's also available as part of the definition process. The next phase of lifecycle services that we support is building the actual product itself. So right here is, of course, you start with the environments. Partner can have a dev test. You can have multiple developer test and environments. You can have the build environment that goes with it. And essentially, you can build the product. You can, of course, demo the product. And then we have sandbox and production. We'll go into some of those different types of environments that we have also in a little bit more detail. Development ALM, there's a significant focus we have made in how you will develop, build, and test the product and bring it back. A very good integration with Visual Studio Online that we have made available. So you're able to continuously make changes and bring it back into the product, the packaging solution for it. So you're actually able to create deployable packages and roll it back into the product. We will see actually a process of how you deploy this package in the cloud environment. So that is something that we will go through in a little bit. Issue search. So issue search is a part of the lifecycle services, and essentially it allows you to look for any specific issue that you are currently trying to address, right? So if you have a problem with invoices or sales orders or whatever, you can do a search, look at the set of fixes in the area that Microsoft has already made available, and you can then go ahead and apply it as you need. So that's something that we have made available. Code upgrade, our goal is to make code upgrade as seamless as possible. We want you to stay as current as possible, right, and avail of all the innovations that we continuously want to make. So we have made significant strides in code upgrade, and one of that is about the platform upgrade itself. So within the next month that release, we will essentially seal the platform, and this will enable you to uptake platform updates on a regular basis. So you can essentially take a monthly platform update in place, and then you will be able to avail of the latest update that Microsoft has provided. The next phase, of course, is operate phase, and this is where we have made significant strides in the last few months, especially for AX7. This is very relevant in the AX7 context. There is, of course, support management that has existed, and you can continue to log issues through the lifecycle services support, and we bring it back into the through cloud powered support into lifecycle services, and we will see a scenario where I can diagnose, log an issue, look at it, diagnose it, and the like. Monitoring and diagnostics, significant enhancements, given that it's AX7 runs in the public cloud and you don't have RDP access to the various machines, we have significantly enhanced what you can monitor and diagnose within lifecycle services. And we'll see a demo of that in a fair amount of detail. But there is a lot that you can do with just a monitoring dashboard and alerting system and the SQL diagnostics that we have provided right within a lifecycle services. And that is something that is significantly enhanced for specifically for AX7. The next thing that I have there is around servicing. So we will go through a complete flow of servicing, but really you can do packages, all types of packages, binary hotfixes, application hotfixes, and how you bring them all together and how do you keep your system up to date. So that is something that also lifecycle services support, and that's something that we will go through in a fair amount of detail in the session. So one other thing I'd like to mention in the previous slide, lifecycle services does have a monthly release cycle. So we do release monthly. We have a blog that we continuously keep up to date. And this is our primary goal, is to improve cloud administration on a regular basis. So we have a cadence where we're continuously making updates and releases. So and if you follow the blog, I think I have it right at the end there, but you will be able to see what the monthly updates that we are making is also. So a slide quickly on how you would think about what are some of the activities that the customer would do versus what are some of the activity customer or partner would do versus what some of the activities are that Microsoft would do. So in the first column that we have there is actually user management, security and identity configuration. So that is something that is available essentially for the customers to do. It is available through the AX client, and it is something that the customer would manage, and it continues to be something that customer would manage in AX7. In the application phase, essentially, there is, of course, the definition of the business processes. That is something that the customer or the partner would manage depending on the vertical, and that is something that you can manage through the lifecycle services. Define, develop, and basically manage your customizations. Managing the customizations is certainly something that you have the ability to do, and you will continue to do that in the AX7 world, and it will be managed through the customer or partner, as the case might be. Monitor and manage the non-production deployments. So we have multiple types of deployment, and the sandbox and the dev test environments are completely the ownership of the customer or the partner, and you will own maintaining them and monitoring them and also keeping them up to date, things like that. You have a complete control over that. Managing application updates and customization quality, that is something that is, again, the onus of the customer. And finally, of course, if you have ISV, third-party integrations, that is also the ownership of the customer or the partner. In terms of the Microsoft ownership, which is the third and the fourth column that you have there, the third column is about application monitoring and notifications that you have. So all of this, what we have is we have a monitoring system that does 24/7 monitoring. We have alerts. We have configured the alerts. So we own sort of managing that infrastructure and in fact, reacting to any incident that happens at that point of time. So that is completely the onus of Microsoft to manage that service once it is available in production. We will also we also own the OS updates, things like that is something that we will manage. We will also manage the environment provisioning, especially in production. So you will see the workflow as I will show it, but basically all patches to sandbox and dev test is managed by the customer or partner, and all patches to production are managed by Microsoft. And then we have a workflow that actually does this. So you sign off, and then it becomes a release candidate, and then the support engineers go in and apply the patches, and then it comes back, and you're ready to use the system. So that is something that we will completely manage. Infrastructure management, that is also the onus of Microsoft. Security, isolation, in fact, scaling up, scaling down of systems, things like that based on utilization. Server, storage, networking, all of that is Microsoft owners based on the Azure cloud. And all of that is, again, managed by Microsoft and Microsoft Azure and Dynamics teams, essentially. That's you.
We'll talk about AppSource for a little bit first. Who's seen AppSource, by the way? Yeah, some people? Okay, not many. AppSource is replacing a few portals that we already had running. So across the sort of business applications and intelligence groups within Microsoft, we had multiple portals that people would go to for ISV solutions. So the AXISV solutions were in one place, Power BI content packs were somewhere else, and other tools were somewhere else as well. The purpose of AppSource is to consolidate that all into one place. So as customers come in and look for products or solutions, they can still search by product, but they can also look across. So if they're looking for tools to help with professional services, for example, they can find the tools that are available for AX, Power BI, Power Apps, the Common Data Model, and any other tools that they may be using, Azure Machine Learning, Cortana Analytics, in one place. It's also going to mean that as we start evolving, partners can start packaging up solutions across those different applications as well, and market it and make it available to customers in one place rather than sitting across 10 different portals. Over the last few years, we introduced a program called LCS Solutions, which was basically a way for ISVs and partners to package solutions. And I'll talk about what it was involved in that solutions in a little bit, but business processes, code, data, reports, everything amongst it, and publish it together. So we had LCS Solutions to start with. We then moved that into the Azure Marketplace. That was the next sort of home for it. And then this year it's moved into AppSource. And this is now where AX7 solutions will stay for us. This is where we're sort of the home for our solutions are across our entire group. So what I'll do is I'll jump in and we can actually have a look at it. So this is AppSource if you haven't seen it. So the first thing you'll notice is that you can see on the refined by product, we have AX CRM, NAV, Project Madeira, Power BI, Office 365, and Azure. We're also going to see the inclusion of, like I said, Power Apps coming here soon. So as Microsoft starts producing first-party apps, you know what I mean, in business solution areas, they'll be available through AppSource as well as third parties. So it'll be a mix of Microsoft content and external parties across those products. But the idea here is that I can come in, say I'm looking for something in AX in professional services, and then I can see the solutions that are available and published within AppSource underneath that. At the moment, we do this as a partner-led trial. So by launching into this, they get taken to the content, they can get in touch with the partner and then communicate. And what happens is once the partner is engaged, we actually launch in and set up a LCS project that starts the trial for that customer. So it's not complete like a customer-led trial at the moment. The partner still gets involved, especially because some of these solutions are a little more complex. It's not like they can just get in and start clicking around. We want some discussion to happen around it. What'll happen though is once they come into LCS, this is where we start leveraging our asset library. So this gives you an example of the types of things that can be included in LCS solution. So we have things like Cortana Intelligence applications. Cortana Intelligence is our rebranding of the machine learning functionality. So retail predictions and those types of things. Power BI reports, data configuration. So you can do exports through DIXF and package that up, as well as customizations through the model. We also then have BPM support. So you can define a business process library within LCS. Once this is all built across LCS and AX, it's packaged up, exported, and stored within this asset library. But what that means is once it all gets in here and AppSource leads the customer or the partner into this, into LCS with these assets, what it then can do is when you see Mira's going to demo later on going through and doing like a package deployment and things like that, all of our environment deployments and package deployments now call from the LCS asset library. So what you can do then is say, I want to deploy an environment with this ISV solution, this data is what I want deployed, and these are the Power BI reports that I want to include in that deployment. So we try and automate as much as possible now the deployment process, and it all gets driven by the asset library. So the idea is AppSource will get the customer and the partner in, get the asset library full of great assets, and then we're investing in automating all of those deployment options to pull directly from this asset library. Now, This is also, by the way, as you go through a project lifecycle, how you manage those assets. So while AppSource and that partner-led trial experience will populate this with ISV solutions, even you as a customer or a partner would then continue to use the asset library to come in, load specific assets into it, whether they be data or code or reports or Cortana intelligence models, to leverage throughout your project as well. So it's not just for ISV solutions, it's actually for day-to-day operations on the project as we go through. If you log in there in a trial project at the moment, you'll see most of the stuff is from Microsoft if you don't have an ISV solution involved. So it'll be our base data configuration, our out-of-the-box reports that'll already be available within the asset library. So I mentioned BPM. This is an area that we're investing a lot more in. BPM has been around in LCS for a very, very long time. It was sort of there since day one. We've been investing a lot in it recently in how we leverage it. Back when it first came out, the BPM library was sort of very much just a list of processes with a bit of a clunky Visio attached to it. We've done as much as we can to try and improve that, but also integrate it with other parts of the application. So a great example there is, you know, task guides now, which are the way that you can record a process and play them back to a user. Those are actually saved back into your BPM library, and it's how they're shared and accessed across libraries, across environments, sorry. So you can go into your environment, record a process, save it to your BPM library. That's what actually models out your Visio flow within the BPM library, and it's actually how environments get access to the task guides. One of the things that we've also just released in, I think, the last 3 months is Visual Studio Team Services integration for BPM as well. So now when you define your business processes within LCS, we actually publish this into your VSTS project as well. So you get for all your business processes that same structure published into VSTS. And we have the ability then for you to create requirements as well in either LCS or VSTS and have those linked as well. The idea there is, as we talk about the DevALM, there's another session we'll mention to you at the end here about the DevALM process in more detail. But what it's really allowing us to do then is, if you have a bug or a customization that happens within your environment, we actually have traceability now from the business process through to the requirement, through that piece of development, and then actually the build and the deployment that it happened with the AX environment as well. So the LCS VSTS integration has really given us that sort of end-to-end visibility and requirements traceability that we didn't have in the project. So what we are finding as people are getting more and more engaged with AX7, there are some of these LCS tools that they were more optional or didn't really provide as much benefit on earlier versions. But with 7, where we've increased the integration a lot more, there is a lot more value in using them. So you'll hear our team bang on about them a lot in trying to get people to use them, because this is an area for us that we're investing a lot in. So we have a team at the moment looking at building project reporting dashboards and things like that that will be based on VSTS data. Requirement traceability reporting that will be based on VSTS data. So there is a lot of that we're investing in, that if people aren't using BPM and that they're not using this type of integration, they won't get the benefit from in the background. So let's have a quick look at that. So I'm just going to jump into an LCS project. The first thing I just want to mention is the methodology. So you can see the methodology here over the left-hand side. Now, the term methodology sometimes throws people off. Think about it more as a checklist. This isn't to try and define every single step within your project, or if you're running it as a Scrum or an Agile project or anything along those lines. What this is really meant to do is that for those key phases as you go through a project, the tasks that you should be performing. And what you'll notice is as you move into an AX7 managed cloud service implementation, a lot of the tasks are more the key interaction points with Microsoft. So when we need specific bits of information to get your environments up and running properly and tasks that we need to perform, that's what that checklist will be driving. So It's less about it's not trying to replace your project plan or anything like that that you will have in the project. It's about the key tasks during that phase that we would have related to an implementation. So what I'm going to do, before I jump into BPM, I just want to quickly show you project settings. And I'm going to go into Visual Studio Team Services. So we've simplified this setup a lot. It used to be far more complicated in the earlier versions, but basically now it only, you can do it in pretty much under 2 minutes to set this up. And this A is used for the BPM integration, but we also use it for our build services and code deployment and a whole bunch of other things. So this is when you first log into an AX7 project, pretty much the first thing we get you to do, because so many of our processes rely on it. But what you can see down the bottom here is we actually have this process template, which is coming from your VSTS project. So you could have selected a Scrum, Agile, or CMMI template within Visual Studio Team Services. And then we actually map our LCS work items to our VSTS work items on the side. So this can be edited, and you can actually change how you want to map LCS into VSTS. And the reporting that we're building is actually going to look at this mapping as well. So as the VSTS team, they are releasing at the moment features for you to add custom work item types and custom fields. Within the next 6 months, they're going to have functionality around custom process templates and things like that. This is the configuration that will allow, if you have a very strict methodology that your organization uses, you can configure VSTS to follow that methodology, and LCS will integrate with it and continue to use it. But you can see the types of things that we're trying to light up here. Obviously, there's the BPM functionality, risks and issues, you know, I mean, development items. But we also have bugs, support issues, and even monitoring issues as well. So if a user now comes in and logs a issue within the AX client, we actually create a VSTS work item in the background. If you're running code upgrade tasks and there's development items that need to be addressed, we create VSTS work items. So there's a lot of that we use it for now to drive our sort of day-to-day work item management. We don't have sort of custom records built directly for it in LCS. We're leveraging the functionality within VSTS. So again, it's a reason you'll hear us talk about it a lot more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump into BPM. And we'll have a look at our Contoso Business Process Library. So this is based on the APQC standard library, which is the one that we publish within LCS. You can have your own libraries, and also then some partners have their own libraries as well, which they publish as part of their solutions. This one is obviously quite sizable. There's, you know, 3,500 processes within it. We're just going to look at one today. I'm not going to go through it in detail. But what I want to show you is that we come through here, and you can actually see at the top that we have our VSTS sync enabled. And if I come down here and have a look at a particular process, hire a candidate through recruiting. I'm actually going to, just change views very quickly and have a look at the review processes. But what you'll actually see is we actually have a linked work item within VSTS now that it's creating for us in the background. So as soon as you create a new process or make a change to a process, we have a sync engine running in the background that will automatically synchronize that into VSTS. So you can see here I've selected hire a candidate through recruiting, and I actually have a work item 5904. And I can click that, and it'll take me into Visual Studio to see that particular record. Now, once it's in Visual Studio, I can do all the fun stuff that I can do within Visual Studio. I can create related records to it. I can pull it into development work items. I can attach documents to it. I can start having discussions on it and assigning it to people and all those types of things. So a lot of that work item or task distribution functionality that we've never been very good at within LCS, you can start to leverage within VSTS. The other nice feature that we've actually added into this as well is that you can start tracking requirements. So anyone that had used BPM in the past, we only used to track gaps. So if it was a fit, we didn't care about it, which was obviously not right. So now you can actually come through and add a requirement, capture some very basic information here, and click OK. And what it will do is actually create a VSTS item. So we're not trying to rebuild this functionality within LCS. We're just trying to give you a UI to actually access it and create it. But at the same time, you can also create this in VSTS, or you can create this in Excel, which is typically where people prefer working. They can then go type all their requirements in Excel and then just import it back up into VSTS. The benefit of doing it this way is you import it back in. We have a relationship. We have a user story that, as you can see here, relates back to our business process. And you can start using this for your dev work item tracking now. So we can create a development work item about this. We can raise a bug against it and keep a history attached. All we're really doing from the LCS side is providing the integration and then providing a view so that if people do come back into the BPM library, they can see the process, they can see the related work items, and they can also see requirements and then drill into the status of them in the background. And like I said, one of the areas that we're looking at now is a way to light up reporting around this so that you can see your fit gap percentage and open requirements per process and all the nice things that are handy to have visibility throughout a project. We're looking at improving that reporting within the LCS tools as well. So one of the last bits I want to show you here around BPM, which is very, very handy, is the ability for us to save task guides and task recordings against it. So we had Task Recorder back in 2012 as well, which was the ability to go record and it would generate like a Word document or a Visio document in the background. It's changed quite a lot in AX7 because basically now we can use those guides to actually play back processes as well. So in the same way in 2012, I would still record it. I can come into the client, say I want to create a recording, run the recording through, and it will actually capture that for me and save it. It does a couple of nice things. So when I run through that processor and record it, it will actually come back into BPM and create that business process for me as well. So it captures the steps from the client. It captures things like what license it was using, what security roles has access to it, and things like that. So you get a lot of nice metadata that it collects as it goes through that recording process. And you can now come in here on the web and actually, if you need to add in a manual process or a gap that wasn't captured, you can do that modeling within the BPM library. What's really nice, though, about the new task recorder is that you can actually play these back. So I can say here I want to play a recording as a task guide, and I want to open it from Lifecycle Services. And I actually get my same tree of processes. I can go back to hire a candidate and click OK. And that's going to take me back in to that task guide. Now, I went explicitly and found the process that I was looking for, but we actually expose all this through our help system as well. So you can go in, click the help icon, and do a search, and actually find process guide, task guides as a help resource as well. And what this allows you to do is, if I click Start Task Guide now, you notice it starts giving me instructions. So I'll say All Workspaces, and I'm going to go to Workforce Management. And this handy little box will start flying around the screen and actually guide me to where I should be entering my data. So I'll put Mira, Mahabala, I'll spell it correctly. You have an equal signs in your name, right? There we go.
Of course.
Yeah. It's a very unique spelling. I'm going to assign a position, and it'll take me down. If I get off course, it'll tell me and correct me and try and pull me back, and then say, hi, a new worker. So obviously, this is a nice bit of functionality to get new users familiar with the system. Some of the other cool things we do with this, and they cover this in the Dev ALM session, is we can actually export these task recordings and use them as the basis for coded and automated tests. So these task recordings can actually be exported, imported into Visual Studio, and actually you get sort of the coded version of this task recording as well that you can start working into automated and build testing in the background. It's not a two-step process, but you know what I mean? It gives you that basis to start getting into some automated testing in the background. And let me go back as well. Okay. Before we jump into some of the other topics, we want to talk about environments. We have a session, there is another recorded session from this week that we'll give you the details to later, where we talk more about how these types of things are requested. But understanding the deployment options is often something that's been quite confusing for customers and partners with the new AX. We group it into two different areas. There are the sort of the base offering deployments that come directly and they're managed and supported by Microsoft. Those are the ones on the right-hand side in the dark gray. And then on the left-hand, there's these customer subscription deployments. or partner subscription deployments. So the primary difference between the two is the ones on the left are contained one-box environments. So they run SQL Server 2016, Visual Studio, and AX on a single virtual machine that can be used for development purposes, testing, debugging purposes. They can be run in the cloud, or they can be downloaded and run on a virtual server infrastructure on-premise. But they are a single contained environment that can be used for testing and development purposes. So this is where if you had 10 developers running on a project, or you needed to do a demo, or you needed to do, like I said, debugging, you would use one of these environments. The ones on the gray side, or the dark gray side, are a little different in that as part of the base offering, you do get three different environments from Microsoft. The first one is one of those one boxes. The difference is it sits in our subscription and runs on our infrastructure as part of the service. The next is then a sandbox environment. So this is a larger scale. It's what we call a multi-box environment. So it's not a single contained one box. It has multiple AOSs, a BI server. It runs then on SQL Azure. It doesn't run on SQL 2016 within a VM. And it's far more comparable to your production environment. Okay. So this is typically your broad, where you'd be doing your UAT testing, performance testing. It's far closer to your production environment. The last one then is an actual production scale environment. The big difference here is we expand out the AOSs even a little bit more. You know what I mean? Give MR its own space, retail its own space, and break that out. It's still using SQL Azure, but then this is when we really start introducing things like high availability and disaster recovery as well. So these are the environments that we really focus on in terms of disaster recovery and high availability. To ensure they're operating and they're protected correctly. The same functionality we don't enable on the sandbox and the developer environments, as they're typically going to be refreshed more often. They're not being used for production functionality or anything like that. But what you will see later is where LCS is really coming in is managing, requesting, updating these environments is all now managed from within LCS. So it's not an on-premise infrastructure where you're installing it. Basically, we have everything that's in the base offering is available within LCS to request and deploy. And Mira's actually going to take you through in a little bit and show you how we go through and update and service and maintain those environments that sit within the Microsoft environment. The one thing to note is before when we were talking about what splits between the customer and the partner, the partner and Microsoft, is especially on these right-hand side environments in the dark gray, this is where Microsoft is, you know what I mean, managing the performance in the background, the SQL configuration, the hotfix, the operating system updates on the VM, all of that is getting done by Microsoft in the background. There's no responsibility on the partner or customer to do it. The downloaded VMs and managed in a customer subscription, you have access to that whole VM. So that's more than an infrastructure as a service. You can run into the VM if it needs patching or if it needs updates. The VM is there. You either trash it and deploy a new one, or you have to manage those updates as part of that process. Nice segue for you to talk about support and manageability.
Thank you, Clay. So we'll talk a little bit about support and manageability and actually dive into a demo, which will give us a little bit more idea. But essentially, we have created a robust infrastructure, which is able to do availability and reliability monitoring. So for example, things like we do, of course, the standard ping, but we also do more than that, where we do synthetic transactions, for example. So depending on the result of the synthetic transactions, we know that the machines are alive and okay. So this availability and reliability monitoring is actually less than 60-second delay. So we have configurations where we are monitoring to see CPU spikes, SQL spikes, things like that, where we have configured, support engineers will get alerted as soon as there's any variation of this, and we can avoid, hopefully, larger problems that might come later. We also have a diagnostic infrastructure which has about a 5 minute, less than a 5 minute delay, and that's what we will use for troubleshooting purposes. So this is where you can see your query logs, and these are large amounts of data. You will see that, you know, you're actually seeing every command that's being executed right on lifecycle services, right? So really large amounts of data that's made available right in the fingertips, and it's with a delay of less than 5 minutes. Overall, this entire infrastructure, you will see that basically you can raise a support request, you can come around, and then you can diagnose the problem, all of that within the system. And that's why it's sort of an end-to-end system that can monitor, diagnose, report a support issue, all of that together, and in fact even deploy a hotfix. And we'll actually just go through the flow right now. So I have to go switch to 7. Okay, so I'm right here in Dynamics AX. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to go ahead and log. Okay, continue working. So I'll just go back and refresh it. What we'll do is we'll go into help right here, and I'm going to say contact your support team, and I'm going to go ahead and click on that. And let's say this is an issue where I have a general ledger filing is slow, so I'm going to go ahead and put that in, and I'm going to go ahead and add a description. So this is the account manager. As they're encountering the issue, they go in right here, and is the issue creating critical work stoppage? I'm going to go ahead and say yes. Does this issue have a potential to create a company work stoppage? I'm going to go ahead and say yes. So right here, you see the task recording also available. So if I had a task recording handy, I could have uploaded it right here so they can see exactly the steps that I executed, right, when they're diagnosing the issue. So that is something that's available. And then, of course, it's going to ask me for my email submission. I'm going to go ahead and say yes and then hit submit here. So what I will get back is I'll get back a confirmation saying this logged the issue, and I will get back a confirmation number. So once that goes through, what an IT admin, so there you go. So I have a 349 as my ticket number. So I'm going to go ahead and close that. So now what an IT admin can do is they can go into their system right here, and they can actually go ahead and select the support that's available right in Lifecycle Services. So we'll go ahead and select the support. And what you will see is you will see the list of active issues that have been logged at this point of time. So the account manager just logged the issue through Dynamics AX, and this should show up basically to say that such a 349, the issue was logged right here. What I don't have is I don't have a VSTS connection in this particular instance, but once you select this, you will be redirected to a VSTS machine. And when you open that, it actually will show you a number of other information about this particular instance, things like the user session ID, you know, the user ID, and things like that, that can help you in your diagnosis as you go back into this loop itself. So once I select this, you'll go into Visual Studio Team Server. In Team Server, there'll be a number of other issues, number of other information, including session ID, customer identification, things like that. And that I can use for my diagnosis purposes itself. So now let's go into the production system itself. So I have seen that such an active issue has been logged by the account manager. I'm going to go in here and select environment monitoring within Lifecycle Services. So I'm going to go ahead. This is the production environment I'm in. I'll go ahead and select environment monitoring. And what it's loading right now is essentially the active user load at this point of time, the activity load at this point of time. So basically, it's doing it for this specific timestamp that you can see right here. I had created the general ledger at an earlier point, so I'm going to go ahead and put, so I don't have that right here. I have a timestamp that I'm just going to copy. And include it into the time window that it's asking for here. And I'm going to say that I want to really look at this issue in a 30-minute window at this point of time. So I'll go ahead and say 30, and I'm going to go ahead and submit the time. And what you see here is actually the user load across the various machine roles. So we have two AOSs here. So you have AOS 1 and you have AOS 2, and you have one BI machine that's available. So what you're seeing here is that there was two users that were active at this point of time, right? There's Monado and there's Administrator who were active. What you can also see if you scroll down is that you can see the activity load. So you can actually see the set of commands that were executed at this point of time, including the ledger journal transaction, things like that. So what you can do here is you're also seeing the spikes as they were. So you can go ahead and select a window that you would like to refresh this monitoring load at. So now I'm really focused on just that particular window itself, and then you can look at the activity, the user load for that particular window. So I'm going to go ahead and select reset zoom here, and I know this is a ledger journal issue, so I can go ahead and enter a search term like ledger journal, and what you will see is, again, this you can change.
Just pop an R in journal.
Oh. Yes. Thank you. So I'll go ahead and say ledger journal there. And what you will see is it's actually scoping it down even further, and it's bringing down the user load and activity load to exactly that particular issue. So now I can go into the user activity itself. I can go ahead and expand the activity right here, and I can go and see what are the actual set of commands. This is the diagnostics capability that I was talking about. But really, you can see the various commands that were executed at that time, right? The set value, what was the level of detail is basically at the command level. And you can see every command that was executed. And this actually provides you a good overview of what the user was doing at that given point in time. And there are cases where it might have been a user error, but a bug too, where, you know, they put in a null value, and which is why something didn't work, things like that. So all of that diagnosis can happen right here with this particular screen right here. So beyond this, what we can do is you can actually view the raw logs itself. So I'm going to go ahead and select view raw logs here. And you, as you see, the same filter gets applied here, the ledger journal filter, and I see the actual timestamp that was applied, and you see the various things. This is a fairly long list of log that was created at that time. So what I can actually do is I can go ahead and choose how I would like to filter this raw log by. So we have a set of canned queries that we expose, and all of those are available. So there are things like slow queries, for example, that's available, which is what I will select. But you can do things like all crashes in the system at that point of time. Or you can do all deadlock activities at that point of time. So you have a wide variety of choices that you can make at this point of time. So let's go ahead and select slow query. And I'm going to hit the search button here. And what this is giving me is actually giving me the set of slow queries that executed at that point of time that took more than 100 milliseconds, I believe. That's our current canned query that we have. And you can actually go here and see, oh, there is a ledger journal query that ran at this time, and this might be the candidate that's causing the slowness, and you can diagnose it even further as you need to. So let me go back one step here, and what we will do is we will go into SQL Insights to just give you an idea of what kind of SQL Insights we actually provide in this environment itself. So I'm going to go ahead. Okay, so we have the SQL Insights for this environment, and what you can see is it's giving us actually the various metrics that are available right here, and I can select one of these metrics, right, whichever the one where the spike is, and you can actually go into the SQL statement, and again, you can see the exact SQL statement that potentially caused that spike. So that's something that you can do right here, and that's also available as needed. The other capability that we have within SQL Insights is index analysis. I'm going to go in and enter a time. I'll go ahead and put 7, and we'll go ahead and say apply. And what you can see is you can actually see the user scans that happened at that point, the user seeks that happened at that time, and the user updates that happened at that point of time. So really, we're trying to give you as much capability and visualization as you can get in terms of being able to diagnose an issue right here within lifecycle services. And this is something that we have greatly enhanced in the last couple of months, and we'll continue to add more things. So if you have any specific feedback, please, in this area, please do share with us. It is an area that we are trying to improve quite a bit in terms of the abilities right here. So one other point we did mention in another session was around, once you go through all this and you still are not able to diagnose the issue, how do you get a backup from production into sandbox, and how you can connect your dev environment and then diagnose the issue? So that's the true debugger kind of an issue. So that is something that is available beyond all these capabilities that we exposed today. So one other thing while I'm in this context that I will show is the issue search. So once, let's say that you did find out it was ledger journal, you can go back into issue search, for example, and you can actually search. You can do something like a ledger journal, and you can see what results come back. And this is actually all the set of hot fixes that Microsoft has provided at this time, right? So all of these are available, and you can then go ahead and apply these hot fixes into your system itself. So I will go to a slide on servicing after this, and then I'll come back and show you how we actually do a hotfix application, assuming we have identified the hotfix that we want to apply. So going back into the slide deck. Okay, so servicing itself, the first things to mention here is that the platform, which is the application platform and the application foundation, will be sealed as of next month, essentially. So this is a message that we have been sharing with people for a while. We've been working with a lot of people. We had telemetry around it, and we figured out where they're doing overlayering and the like. And then we're looking to seal it in the next month. What this means is you can continue to do extensions on all the code that you have. It's just that we do not want you to do overlayering. And that's why we have provided extensibility hooks across the various platform components. And this is available for you to leverage and to use as you need. Tomorrow, we have a deep dive session on specifically this that Peter will be giving. And this is essentially to say how you can leverage all the extensibility hooks that we have. The main goal with the platform sealing effort is that we want you to be continuously stay up to date, right? We really do want you to be able to take the patches as we make them available monthly, and we want you to be able to use them on your systems and bring them onto the systems as soon as you can possibly can. So really our goal is that you will be able to avail of the innovations as we make them and as we make them available. The next one is around OS patches. OS patches is, of course, something that we will drive. We will broadcast this across all systems. We have a system of course, notifying you that we are going to patch the system, and we will make sure that you're current with all OS patches. That is part of the public cloud service that we make available, and we will continue to do that. Software deployable packages, we have multiple types of software packages, and we'll show you that in a bit. There's the binary, application, retail, and merge. So multiple types of options that you have to be able to deploy your packages itself. All packages must be first deployed in sandbox, validated, signed off, and only then they can go into production. And that's the exact flow I'll show you, so it'll be pretty clear. And of course, package history is available. So every package that you've deployed in the system, you can actually go see what are the set of packages you deployed and what the steps were and the like. So that's something that is available in a fair amount of detail. So let's take a scenario now where we are actually going to say that we have a hotfix that we identified in the previous setting, and we're going to go ahead and deploy it. So this is my sandbox environment that I'm showing right now, right? And essentially, what I have just done is I've applied this hotfix that we identified into the sandbox environment. So when you've done that, basically what you can see here is you can see the list of steps available, right? And each of these steps will actually tell you what the status is, and you can go in a fair amount of detail. Some other things to note is there's a download log. So you can actually download the log file. You can look at it in a fair amount of detail. There's download runbook, so you can actually see the steps that were executed, and that's also available if you wanted to run it somewhere else. So that's something that is made available. But really, what is relevant right now is the sign-off button here, right? So now that I have applied it here, the expectation is on Sandbox, you will test the currently applied deployment package. Once you're done with validation, what we expect that you will do will be you will hit the sign-off button here. So once you select sign-off, essentially what's going to happen is it's going to go, it's been deployed, and it's just going to go into a state where this package is going to go into to become a released package. And the only released packages can be applied into production. So I'm going to go... So it's only release packages can go into production. The one option that you do have is you can unrelease a package, even though you applied it in Sandbox and signed off, and that's something that you can do through the asset library. That's an option that is certainly available. So we'll go into production now. So my goal is now that I would like to apply this very same hotfix now in production. So the way you do that is you go into maintain, and you will select apply updates. So I'll go ahead and select apply updates. And again, like we mentioned before, the types of hotfixes you can do is a binary deployable package. For an application deployable package, this is essentially the X++ package. You might merge it with your customizations and apply it. So that is something that's available. There's the retail deployable package. And we have the concept of a merged package. So you can do, actually, you can merge up to three packages. So you can merge a binary, an application, and a retail deployable package together and do a one-time deployment of all three, so you save time, the downtime is reduced, things like that. So a merged package is also something that we support. So right now, let me go ahead and select binary hotfix right here. So what you see here is I have the binary hotfix that was applied to Sandbox made available here. So the only release candidates are made available here. So you cannot apply anything else that you have not signed off already in Sandbox. So that's a workflow that we just ensure that's the way it is happening. So once you select this, what you can do is you can go ahead and schedule it. And it does need 5 hours right now. This is a downtime that we require right now, and that's a time that we're continuously improving. So you will see in my very next slide that I have about improvements that the downtime is something that we're continuously looking to improve. But basically, what you can do is I have to select a time. I believe that is a few hours away, but let's just go try this 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. Okay, and then you can just go ahead and submit the request. So once you submit this request in production, what is essentially going to happen is the support engineer at Microsoft will go ahead and actually apply the specific package into the system itself. And this button that's deployed here will go into servicing once it has been deployed. Once the package has been deployed, what you get back is you get again a confirmation. You get a notification, and you also can get in this page, you can come back and you can sign off the request. So once you're signed off, you're back into the mode where your production can be operational and you can manage it. We do have a notification list here, so something that you can also do is notify all the people that using the system that you're going to, this is downtime, things like that can also be managed right from this experience. You can reschedule, you can change the package, things like that are also available right here. So one other thing that I will show is we'll just go into asset packages to show you the merge functionality. So in asset packages, the ones that we really do is essentially the software deployable package right here. What you can do is you can say I want, for example, these three packages to be you can select the three packages and then you can hit merge here. So once you select merge, what we actually do is we validate and make sure that the package is the right kind of, it's allowed to, you can merge, is essentially valid to merge. So once we do that, we get back to you, and then at that point you can reuse such a package for deployment itself. Just maybe one more point around the packages before we go back around maintaining of these update packages. We have the binary and we have the application packages. So there's the X++ code and platform code, both of those that are available. So I'm just going to go right here into one of these environments to show you. We have four tiles that we show, and the four tiles actually show you the number of updates that you have. These tiles are based on the system and your current state of the system. So essentially, depending on the state of this system, you will see the number of packages that are available to download right here. So you have both the binary and application. So with time, of course, the platform binary updates, we expect you to be mostly zero, because that's what we expect, that we can continuously update, right? So that's something that we expect you to be at zero, and of course these will be on an optional basis that you will take up as you do your customizations. So with that, let's move on to the next slide. Okay, so this is really just stating our that we do release monthly. So there are a number of other things that we have slated for to come back. One big one is the sandbox refresh that is going out actually this month, and then we will add other such request types that will be available very soon. We are looking to do rollback. Right now we are doing roll forward, but we would like to support rollback. We're continuously looking to streamline even the way sandbox is updated, and once your sandbox is updated, the time it takes to deploy it in production. That is something that we're looking to streamline. The update downtime is something that we're certainly working on. Also, automated, you know, how do we post the health information in different ways? How do we make the monitoring more actionable in general for you and for us? In both ways, we're looking at that. We're looking to improve troubleshooting experiences when you apply updates in general. So that is something that we are looking to do. The blog that I mentioned is right there. So please take a look at that blog. It is something that we keep continuously updated. Sometimes we do multiple times a month, but we keep the blog always up to date on what we are releasing. And that's definitely one way to keep abreast of the changes. So with that, I think...
So we've had a few other sessions this week that our team's presented. So your role in a managed service really talks through the different types of requests that you would go through. So deploying a new environment, deploying a hotfix, how do you get an advanced debugging environment, and how that interaction works between Microsoft, the partner, and the customer. It's a short one, 45 minutes. It was on Wednesday, but it's recorded. Speed up your Dynamics AX code upgrade talks through some good examples of the whole extension versus overlayering, platform versus application, binary versus X++, all those things we've sort of mentioned. Tarek goes into a lot more detail. How to operate and service in the cloud is tomorrow, and it is going to be about that, a lot more detail into the environment monitoring. So the sort of 5 minute that Mira showed you around environment monitoring and SQL insights, that session's gonna go into that in a lot more detail, as well as then servicing and applying hotfixes and those sorts of things throughout environments. And then the last is really around the dev ALM experience. So Robert's session, which I think is today.
Wednesday, I think.
Oh, no, you missed it. It was on Wednesday. But
it's
recorded.
Online.
It's all recorded, and this is more focused on the dev ALM process. So going through one box, code deployment, packaging, and moving it through the different environments as well. Please have a look at those related sessions, because while there's things that we've touched at a very high level, these will go into a lot more detail. And we have 12 minutes left for questions, if anyone has any. If you can use the mic, please, Ivan.
What's the process if a customer has to request a restore?
Like something went wrong in production, they want
something
to restore a backup?
Wrong. They signed off, not everything was tested, they needed to restore. What's that process look like?
So there is, go ahead, point in time restore.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about that?
We do point in time restores. So we would have a backup of the application, and then we have point-in-time restores for SQL DBs as well. So they would submit a request through DSE and say, it's a form in LCS. They go, I need a point-in-time restore to this point in time, and we would restore the backup for them.
To add, is that table or whole database? Can you do by table?
Oh, no, the whole database.
It's database.
Yeah. Okay. You do a point-in-time restore for the environment.
You asked me. Sorry, I have to look at all my notes.
So, that's right.
The dev and test that's on-prem, do you still have to have Azure Stack as the?
No. So okay. The only options apart from the anything that's not in the Microsoft cloud is a single one-box VM.
So you don't need.
So it has SQL 2016. Everything is on the VM. You just need to be able to host the VM.
I don't want to go too much into monitoring, as you said, but does this add to OMS, or does it push into OMS?
Yeah, so we use OMS today for, we do leverage OMS. And in fact, the OS broadcasting that I talked about is completely OMS. What we want to also do is plot platforms, critical and security fixes to be broadcast, and we will use OMS for that too.
On your ticketing system that you have built into this thing, we have our own on-prem ticketing system. Is there integrations that you're coming out with to be able to alerting people like that?
So that, I think this question has been asked before. Yeah. So there is.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the moment, we're focusing on the VSTS integration.
Right. And once it's in VSTS, it's potentially something that you can take and use for other systems. And that's probably exactly what, there are other people who have asked us.
And when you're requesting, you're submitting your ticket, it says you're submitting it to Microsoft. Is there any branding along with that, saying you're submitting it to your local IT staff versus?
Yeah, that's a good point. That is X++. That is Dynamics AX X++ code. So surely you can rebrand it.
Okay.
I think this was just the default. And to be clear, actually, what that ticketing is just going to the IT admin of that department.
That's actually probably wrong.
Right?
We should probably fix that.
So we should probably fix that. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sure you can change it. I'm sure it's X++.
Mira, why did you say about the OS patching is important? Because, we are in a cloud. I understand, all the VMs, whatever you use in the back.
Right.
I couldn't care less. But you may have a certain reason you wanted to brought it up that the OS patching is unimportant. Because we are not getting exposed to that one. So
correct. So the OS patching that we focus on is the critical fixes only. It's like the must-have fixes only.
But why do I care about that?
I think we just included it to say that you don't have to.
You should not have to.
Yeah, but anyway, we don't have access to it anyway, so we
cannot
even do it even if we want to.
It's been a common question we've had come up, is people
how
have
do you
asked
keep up
us, so we explicitly added it to the slides to say that we do it.
Do you see any use cases where you patching something and we have to take care about something in our side about that or not? Let's say that we're using an external component which is built into the application and is maybe using, we're using an extension to a certain elements, a visualization, which is not provided Microsoft, but we embed into it and is depend on something, or you, because where do you see as a potential, as a conflict, that if you do something,
Seen that before, where you have patched the OS and you've caused, because we were not expecting any conflicts.
Me neither.
We were not expecting any conflicts.
I don't expect, because I'm not touching that one. I don't
care
about it.
And even you're right.
Even if you're doing something with integrated with us, like an external data store, okay, even if a different VM machines, this case I'm caring about mine, and if it's broke something, it's going to broke there, but not in your same system, so. Just wanted to make sure that when you put it there, was there anything else in your
mind? No, there wasn't a subtext of it being on the slide.
Yeah, it's the security critical fixes is what we're trying to fix. It should not have any side effect on your system is our expectation in general, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What about state when you replay a recorded task and the task changed the state of the system? for instance, added a user and you try to replay it and add the same user?
So it actually records the metadata that you go through. It stores the data up as an example, but like as I went through it, the time I recorded it to when I played it back, I actually entered different data. So it takes me to the field and says, enter a first name. While we actually do store in the XML the first name I put in the first time, as you replay it, you make up your own data as you go. And things like number sequences, so like in that example, the employee, it would still be generated fresh every time the task guide's played. It's not like it just repeats the information every time it plays.
So you cannot use it as a macro to do a task?
No, it still requires the user to be interacting with it. If you want a completely automated play it, it's not like you can go, I need to process this workbook or something along those lines. The automated testing that I was talking about, if you'd like take it into Visual Studio, they have options in there to sort of, you know, use testing and sample data and things like that through X++, or sorry, through Visual Studio. But that doesn't, it's not like a macro tool that someone would use for day-to-day processing. That's for automated testing in a build. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. On the OS patching, is there actually downtime associated with that, or is it just a rolling thing for you guys?
There is, today there is some downtime.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. I just needed to know that. The binary patches, is there like a time frame where you say, if you don't do it by this time, we're going to have to force you to move up? Or
Yeah. So our current, I believe the document that we want to publish is about 12 months.
Okay. Oh, that's not.
Yeah.
Yep. We have had, and it tends to come down to what the update is. We have had some things that if they're security or compliance related, it's more encouragement. But typically, everyone's actually been quite good about
keeping up to date, yes.
Because they're the easier of
the cumulative, they're easier, and it just gives us.
Yeah, it's a much easier process.
Yeah.
To add to what he was asking about the, where it shows, hey, click here, the, I'm losing my mind right now, but.
Task guides.
Task guides.
Is that move from environments like sandbox to production?
Yep.
And production to sandbox, so
yep.
People can.
Okay. So the task guide actually gets stored within LCS.
Okay,
it doesn't get stored in the environment. So when you deploy an environment through LCS, we connect it back to your BPM library. And then basically when I search and I pull up that task guide, I'm actually getting it from LCS. I'm not getting it from that particular environment. So you can write them, test them, save them into your BPM library, and then they can be available in multiple environments.
And the last question I have is data from, if you had on-prem data from I guess SQL, Azure, or whatever it is, how do you get that down to your on-prem instance?
On-prem instance of what?
Oh, of 7, when you're doing, like you said, to test, you know.
Oh.
So we restore it actually to the sandbox environment, which is also a cloud environment.
Okay.
So from production to sandbox is what we allow you to restore it into.
And then we can take it from sandbox out with whatever we need to?
Not really.
You said earlier you to test your bugs.
Yeah. So you would attach a dev test environment to the sandbox
correct.
SQL.
So you
that's
can
what
point
you would do.
To
you
that.
Would point to that instance.
That instance.
Okay. That makes.
You don't
sense.
Have to
yeah.
take it to your.
You
environment.
Don't have to take it to anywhere.
You
okay.
debug,
so you
against,
debug
that,
against that.
That cloud environment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ideally, we wouldn't necessarily because there's PPI and confidential information in a production database, mm-hmm. and they're going to get quite sizable. We wouldn't typically recommend moving them to a dev one box regularly
right.
unless there was a need. The other thing is that you actually change DB formats because you're going from SQL Azure to SQL 2016. So that debug scenario, we actually keep it in SQL Azure.
Okay, that makes more sense. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any plans to extend the validation logic in test guides? Right now I can just validate the actual value in the field. And in order to use it, or at least train consultants to use test guides for more like test automation, I think like more kind of functions are needed. Like right now I have just like validate field, right? When I click on the field in the test guide, I have just one small option. Of course, I can give test guides to developers and they can add something else, but you know, are there any plans to basically extend the user interface and add more like features to validate something? I don't know. So
not that I'm aware of. I'm looking in your direction to know if you know of anything, Arif.
And two years ago, during CTP4, it was also announced that there are some plans to, you know, somehow automatically get those test guides and get them hooked to, you know, test manager and something like that. Do you have kind of like good solid story for that?
So that's still like an aspiration. They are, like I said, you can do the one where you take an export and import it into Visual Studio and automate it. Full blown, just take my whole BPM library and push it in. They're not there yet. But it's still definitely, that's where we want to go. There's obviously just a lot of work to get there.
I had three quick questions.
Sure.
Right now we're 2012 R3 CU9.
Okay.
And if we were gonna choose to upgrade to AX7 in the cloud, could we do that all on-prem?
There is not currently an on-prem offering for AX7.
No, so it's all
in
the
cloud. All in the managed cloud.
So my second question, we do a build, we create a template. How long does that template take to restore for, like, if a developer wanted the new build? Minutes or?
Sorry, give that one to me again.
Okay, so in the cloud, it's like we do a new build, mm-hmm. and we create a template off of that build for a machine.
Like deploying
machine.
A new one-box environment or
yeah.
something?
So a developer wants that machine. How long does that take to restore his machine? Like a few minutes?
I actually
so
don't know.
Is this the dev test and
this
box?
Is pulling a
yeah,
new build into a dev
so
box.
So we created a template off of our new build. A developer wants to use that new build. How long does that take to get him
I don't know the actual
So if you
time,
use the VHD, it's a VHD restore time.
Okay.
But you're trying to update it. Is what I assume?
No, the way I understood it is he'd save his code off for whatever he was working on.
Right.
He'd save his code off. He just wants a new box with the new build. How long
oh, the new
take?
Build?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure about the exact
box.
Time.
If
it
you
depends
come up
probably
and see
on
me
the
afterwards,
changes.
I can give
but,
you a dev that can
okay.
answer that question.
Yeah.
I just don't know the time.
And then, so my third question, I'll try to be quick. I know we're running late. So we have a production down scenario.
Mm-hmm.
What's the SLA on that, roughly?
Right. So this is like a.
So we put in a ticket. Like, mm-hmm. How quickly does it start getting looked at and stuff like
right.
that?
Right. So we are going to a 4-hour SLA. Do you want to talk to about the disaster recovery?
Yeah, like worst case scenario, production stopped.
So production stopped would fall under the support plan. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think their crit
okay.
one is like under an hour or something
okay,
along those lines.
Critical. So like 1 to 4 is what
yeah.
I could put it at roughly. Okay.
It's the so it depends on as you when you log
okay.
the ticket, you go through and you answer a bunch of questions
mm-hmm.
about what it's blocking and what
mm-hmm.
not, and then it calculates and it says this is a critical level, this and this is your associated SLA.
AX7 is supported by the same support team as 2012.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, we've hit time. If anyone else has got any questions, please feel free to come up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.